It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today, The Citizen Lobbyist. Welcome, Citizen Lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, I'm recovering. Yes. Tuesday night was an interesting set of meetings over at the borough, the first one being the certification meeting at 5 o'clock. That was kind of fun, and people were celebrating and saying good things, followed by the regular meeting. So why don't we talk a little bit about that certification meeting when it came up?
Okay, great. Yeah, it started out. I was trying to sit here this morning, Mike, and contemplate how many of these we've been to, but it seems like a lot. And they're very short. They're usually less than an hour in duration, and this one didn't change anything. It was about a half hour. Jim Sykes was not there. He wasn't one of the ones being sworn in, but he was on the phone. Barbara Doty, unfortunately, wasn't there because it was her last meeting. But they did swear in two new council men for the woman and man assemblymen for the assembly. And that was Jesse Sumner, who will now take Barbara Doty's place at the table starting next meeting, the 30th. And from Randall Kowalki's seat, Tamara Bove was there. And she's not somebody who has not been to the assembly. She testified a lot over the course of years. And so she's a pretty familiar face. She also spent a lot of time at assembly meetings, even when she was running. So I'm always glad to see that. Not that people aren't listening to us broadcast it, but I'm glad to see that future assembly people actually make the effort to be in the audience and see up close what they're getting into, because it's a big job. So that basically was the gist of the meeting, was swearing those people in. A few words from Kowalki about leaving, because he's, of course, not going to be on the assembly, and he failed to win his position in the primary to run for Senate. So he's sort of retired for now, but it doesn't sound like he plans to actually do that. He plans to stay active. And that was kind of it for the ceremonial, unless I missed something. There was cake. There's always cake, Mike.
Right. It was in the other room, and I noticed people seemed to enjoy that opportunity to actually stand up, move around, talk to people, and so on.
Right.
So what you notice when you go to these meetings is that at the beginning there's a little bit of discussion, then the meeting begins. And even during the breaks, there might be a short break or an at-ease or something of that sort. So you get a little bit of standing up. But this was a little lengthier piece, and I think it was a good thing, because it meant that you weren't going directly from that meeting with a very short break and then into the regular meeting.
Right.
And having that chance to even talk with people it seemed like a happy crowd.
Yeah, and everyone is different. I noticed that Assemblyman Jesse Sumner did not bring his family with him, which is sometimes the case. A lot of times families come up, and that's the only time we see families or spouses. Tam Bove had both daughters were there, and there were lots of flowers and hugs, and so it's just the difference of, they all look different. So it's always interesting to go to these things, and no matter what end of an election people end up on, Mike, they're serving, and there's not very many people we've seen that actually want to run for office and serve their community. So bravo for everybody who has served and is going to make a stab at their first chance to serve.
That's right. That's right.
And then at 6 o'clock, Mike, we went right into the regular assembly meeting. It was a pretty short agenda, but it kind of turned into sort of a long thing. We started out with just a few words from the mayor of Wasilla. He's always got a lot of events to talk about at the Menard Center, which seems to keep very, very busy. And he also thanked, Assemblyman Kowalki, who was there, and Assemblywoman Doty, who wasn't there, but for their service, and welcomed the new assembly people to the table for next time around. Same thing with Superintendent Monica Goya. She did mention that they're going to do their annual tour this next week, I think, of elective officials to go through a couple of the schools, which I always like to see them do that. There's a lot of people that run for office that really, unless they have kids in school, that's the only familiarity they have. And what do we have now? 48 schools. So they pick three or four a year, and load up a bus with elected officials and take them into the school and sort of showcase what's going on there. So
right.
She was there to announce that. There were, it seemed like sort of a surprise, but it was on the agenda, a mayoral proclamation of recognition for Community Planning Month. And Eileen Pabasco looked a little surprised about it. Maybe it was sort of a surprise to her, but she did go up and graciously accept the award.
Right.
And then also the mayor gave an award to Assemblyman Kowaki, who most people referred to at the end of the meeting as being one of the hardest working assemblymen they had seen in that seat. And so they gave him an award as well. And then after that, not much. They talked a little bit about, the manager talked a little bit about federal and state priorities that are going to be coming up. That's the first thing these new assembly people will be looking at, is what the manager has gleaned and put together for their input on what the federal and state priorities will be this time. It will come pre-election, it sounded like, but that normally is something that gets tossed around for a few meetings and sometimes taken up on its own down the road. He talked about a little bit about the emergency preparedness fair that they had, and had Deb McGann, who has led that effort for the community, put together quite a good emergency preparedness fair, and she was up there and gave out some awards and that sort of thing, and talked about
right.
what a success that is and how important it is that the people get ready and be ready for emergency preparedness. After that, there was a couple of announcements from the attorney, mostly having to do with that they hired a new attorney. They've replaced, I don't know if they've replaced or just added a new attorney. That was kind of unclear to me.
I wasn't clear about that either.
Yeah, but it was a priority apparently from the assembly to have somebody who would concentrate a little bit on enforcements and ordinances to enforce them, and they brought someone aboard for that. He talked just briefly about the FERC filing having to do with the gas pipeline, where it's going to end up, whether it's going to go to Port McKenzie or it's going to go to Kenai, and this is something that's been in appeal with the federal government for a while. And it's being tossed in back and forth a little bit, and he just kind of gave us sort of a very short update on that. Clerk had not much, just to say she was sorry that their video streaming wasn't working yet. That part of the cyber attack that they had is something that took that down, and they're waiting. It sounds like they're waiting for the software to be updated from the company to make that happen. So it was good that Radio Free Palmer was there streaming.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, because there was no video for the meeting. And after that, let's see. The very first thing they took up was something that actually held more than anything, and it had to do with timber and
yes.
a transportation permit for timber. Were you there for that, Mike?
I
know you had to pop in.
I popped off a little bit, but I came back, and yes, the timber I caught certainly toward the end. Start to the first part about it. How did it arise that they began?
Well, this
talking?
Is actually not new legislation.
Sure.
This is something that Mr. Kowaki had pretty much decided to make really drastic changes to what was in ordinance having to do with the transportation of timber. And it was a pretty drastic change and he did it, and he was pretty eloquent about saying that he did it because of the small timber harvesters and also the problem with spruce bark beetle kill that we're having, hoping to get rid of some of, I don't think they think there's some, I can't remember how many acres now that are dead, but that was his reason to change it, and it came from a request from his district. But it was a pretty drastic one, and they started out by having some really, I thought, really thoughtful commentary from the audience that had been watching this. A lot of the criticism had to do with the poor public process that it went through, that the community council in Talkeetna, who is very active, maybe our most active one in the borough, never got to really sign off on it, but they did vote to in non-support of it. It seems like a lot of the criticism had to do with the amount of trucks that it was going to be increased, and the amount of route or amount right. of trips it was going the, from two
and,
to...
And I thought a number of the assembly people spoke to that pretty well and admitted that the number change from whatever it was, 2 to 12, was rather arbitrary. And they were looking for, and this ultimately led to the further action that was taken regarding the proposed legislation. But when Mr. Mayfield suggested 6, he admitted as a as an amendment that that was also arbitrary.
Yeah.
And so there we were looking and saying, well, base this on something that is worthwhile.
Well, and the other little hitch in this is it's traveled down. And I thought that Ruth Wood from Talkeetna made a really good point about this, is that, you know, part of the justification for this was that we need to harvest this resource is for the port. The port needs to, you know, it's about resources, resources. And now since the tariffs have been put in place, there isn't really, that resource is not needed at this point. In fact, the company that really sort of spearheaded this big change to do a lot of harvesting has backed out of that agreement. And so there is no need to really rush into it without a thoughtful process, because we don't really have a buyer for that timber.
And in fact, Eugene Haberman, who often speaks, was able to focus on that particular question and added his voice to the point that, well, you've got all, if you get all the timber and you don't really have it worked out where it's going to go, how does that play?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so there was a lot of back and forth about it. And then when it finally did get to the table, there was a lot of back and forth when they got up there, as you referred to earlier, Mike. Assemblyman Mayfield talked about making an amendment or proposed an amendment for 6 instead of 12. Round trips. So now we're talking 12 round trips as opposed to 6 to make it more palatable to pass. And that didn't get any love. There were a couple of attempts by Assemblyman Beck and also Assemblyman Sykes to kick it down the road a little bit. I think Assemblyman Beck made the mention that, you know, that we're having a change in assembly in 2 weeks. Why not push this at least to October 30th? So the new assembly people, who will actually have to deal with the changes for at least 3 years that we make, get up to speed and we allow them to speak about it. That didn't find enough love to be passed, but it was a tie vote and the mayor voted that down too.
And then
there was another one for farther in November by Mr. Sykes that was ultimately voted down. But then at the very last bit, when it looked like they would take a vote on the original ordinance, as Mr. Kawaki had put it on the table, Mr. Beck asked procedurally if it would be appropriate for him to refer it to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which they have as part of their tools in the toolbox to do, to have them take a look at it, which made a lot of sense considering it's a transportation issue. Mr. McKee, while he wasn't too thrilled about that, did want to be assured that somebody from transportation would be part of that venue. So I think that was...
It was, again, a tie vote.
It was, again, a tie vote, and the mayor voted
mayor
for it.
But the mayor said yes.
Yeah, the mayor voted for it and said, you know, this makes sense to let them... It'll go for 90 days, so you'll see this in... sometime after 90 days after the Planning and Zoning Commission. But it will be another opportunity for the public to speak, which is all key.
And this is almost overshadowed by the larger question that you referred to earlier of beetle-killed spruce.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor specifically brought that up and saying he wasn't seeing a major plan for how to deal with this enormous problem as well as available spruce.
Yeah.
And that may be part of what's causing this, to say, before we were thinking about a kind of a nice process where you harvest some, et cetera, but now we have to deal with a really devastating effect.
Yeah, it really did kind of contradict itself, because the way I interpreted the way that it had been changed by Mr. Kawaki, it actually called for a big timber operation. But part of the justification for it was because of to have the smaller guys. There's several timber people here in the borough that give them a chance to do this. So we're modifying for a bigger operation, but that's not really there right now. What the need is for to get rid of the spruce beetle kill. I think everybody agrees with that. Sure. So I think it was a really good move on the part of the assembly to give it a more thoughtful process to hear from those small vendors to see what their capacity is, what they can do with the wood if it's not going to go to the port and it's not going to go, you know, out to China as it was headed, I think. Where is it going to go if they do kill it, cut it down? So those are all questions that will be answered.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that go to China, and of course, later on there was an individual who mentioned this, the effect of tariffs on this whole process.
So this is the first time we've seen that kind of come up in some borough discussions, is the tariffs. I expect to kind of hear a little bit more about that, Mike, as we get on to projects of they're trying to capital projects that they end up doing. The cost of those are surely to go up, considering the cost of steel and those kind of things. A lot of those things come from areas that are now going to have a tariff on them. So the other probably the other thing that they talked in deeply about, more so than anything else, was having to do with an amendment having to do with the repair of the dock at Point McKenzie.
Oh,
again.
Yes.
Yeah, this one is always an eye roller for me. It's really a hard one to track. You know, the reality of it is we have a multimillion-dollar investment out there. And there's a lot of no lack of opinions on whether it should have ever been built, what we should do with it, how much. But we all know it's costing to maintain it. And this was an extension of sort of an oversight of a contract that was awarded to do some repairs on the dock that could not be on a cell of the dock that could not be not taken care of. It was a safety and an issue, and apparently the contractor was not performing, although they think they've hired a very good contractor. They are not exactly on time, and so they've now hired a an expert, so to speak, on this type of operation.
To oversee and ensure.
To oversee and ensure it. And, you know, this is going to be a very interesting conversation. They did approve it at the very end. I thought that actually Assemblyman George McKee had some good questions about it. It is sort of a thorn in their side, just as we saw the ferry be a thorn in their side for a long time. So it's not a bad thing to be asking these questions, and I would think that new assembly people would be asking too, because it's been going on for a long time. But, you know, we have a port director there, but we don't have an economic development director anymore. We don't have, although I think you have a very competent person at the port, they're not somebody who actually is trained to sell commodities and to sell a port for operations so that someone will actually use it. And that may be a budget thing that they have to look at this time, is the operation of the port and whether the investment is worth having different personnel to oversee it. Because we do have a capital projects person at the borough, and this was above his scope to oversee.
Right.
If anybody's driven out to Point McKenzie, it's not around the corner from where the borough is. It's a long ways out there. And so oversight is a constant issue out there. So it'll be interesting to see as the budget comes up this year, it'll be interesting to see where they go on that and who on the assembly, the new assembly members and also the others are supportive. And what the manager and others can, you know, pitch for continuing operations to feed the port and instead of or having it feed itself as opposed to the property taxpayers feeding it. So it's going to be interesting.
And that was the discussion of an item that had been pulled from the consent agenda. So it was toward the end of the meeting, but not the end, because the group went off for an executive session and then came back and essentially did comments.
Yeah, they did a lot of introductions for a lot of different agendas. They'll have this new assembly will have quite a big packet to be looking at next time. So they read all of those in as they're procedurally supposed to do. They also approved the vacancy report, which put Assemblyman Dan Mayfield on the Fish and Wildlife Commission because Mr. Kowalki, of course, is now not able to be there, not being that assembly person anymore. And so they moved into executive session about, I think, 6:35, and they were out by 20 minutes later, I think. It was pretty quick.
And it was 7:35.
7:35, okay.
Came out just before 8.
Right.
Yeah.
And they always tell you what they're going to talk about, what the topic is, but nothing that is in an executive session. But it had to do with the Talkeetna sewer and water issues. It was interesting to see that the both newly sworn in assembly people were invited to come in, so to bring them
good
up
move.
To speed, even though they actually won't take that power over until Monday of next week. So that was probably a good move. And then the rest of it, Mike, was just lots of comments, you know, just kind of the end of a lot of it was, you know, saying farewell to assembly person that had served. Nothing really that stuck out in my mind so much. I think Mayor Halter probably had the most interesting to say, just made a nod to the changing governor's race, you know, that it happened that day. And the road bonds passing, he was happy about that. Mr. Halter has always been supportive of road bonds, but he also said they had their work cut out for them to find the 50% match to make that project fly from the state. He talked a little bit about police powers and his thoughts just primarily about, you know, who should be on the committee. He wants to get a committee together soon to talk about it, to a diverse group of people and actually people that know that have done this from outside, some consultant types, to give them something to come back to the borough that they can maybe put on the ballot next year to be voted on next October. So sounds like he's gotten some thoughts about that. He, you know, talked a little bit about the timber sale that they had talked about and the struggle about that, you know, that I don't think anybody really it is a struggle between, you know, having a good process and developing your resources that you need to support your community and the struggle with that. But he felt good about the sending it to the Planning Commission, and since he, you know, levied the vote that sent it there, actually, he should be. He also talked just a little bit about the cyber attack and what a shame it was and how expensive it has gotten to be, and, you know, was certainly something unexpected, some $2 million that's coming out of their reserves at this point. And the last thing he said, which I always appreciate about the mayor, is that, you know, he likes diversity on the assembly. People that think differently than the rest of them, and he thinks that's a healthy thing for the community. And he was looking forward to working with everybody. And he'll get a chance because the next time they'll meet Mike is October 30th, right before Halloween.
Right, and we'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for doing this. When we look at an agenda, sometimes listeners, you can look at these agendas. They're up on the website that the borough provides. You can't always tell exactly where it's going, but after a little while, maybe get a feel for, this one, because of previous discussions that went on for a while, might have to take a little time, et cetera.
Yeah, when things are introduced, energy is pretty high. There's a lot of testimony. Things get kicked down the road. There's less testimony, but it doesn't mean that there's going to be any easy solutions at the table.
Right.
And there is quite a few. The packet is on the website, so if you want to see what's going to be in front of the new makeup of the assembly, go look at it, and it'll be something to watch. And hopefully they'll have the stream up, but we'll be there, Mike.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Citizen Lobbyist. We'll talk next week.
All right.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.